come swim at Circa Las Vegas. It's Cofield and Company.
Here we go, Thursday show, Cofield and Company. Circa, you can hear the music in the background. Is that Aoki? This is going to be fired up. It is, right? Yes, it is. Bone something? What is this, Griffin? You're not playing it. They're playing it here at Circa, but we'll ID it. No, it's Aoki. Alex White is here. We're in Cabana 7, as we are every Thursday. Great guest spots on the way, including end of this hour. Xavier Pope is going to be in on a bunch of legal topics. Also has strong takes on Caitlin Clark, which Alex and I may get into it on Caitlin Clark. I'm going to do a giveaway coming right out. We got tickets to go see Iron Maiden October 5th. That's this weekend at the MUA, Michelob Ultra Arena. AXS.com. Two tickets. Griffin's going to hook you up. 364-1100. Caller 7. Caller 7. 364-1100. So it is beautiful outside. I love summer weather, and I often tell people, like, hey, the summer a lot of times doesn't really end here until sometimes 2 and 3 weeks into October. It's a little hotter than normal right now, but trust me, if I could be out in one of those pools drinking and soaking up some sun, I would be out there in a heartbeat. It is beautiful today, so you want to come down to Stadium Swim. The other great thing about this place is, just like all around town, in October, once the sun goes down, it cools down a lot. These are the best times at Stadium Swim, are September, October, November, as long as the wind doesn't pick up, and then spring. It's awesome out there right now.
I don't know how more people are not here. I'm with you. I think this is the best time. But it is hotter than normal in October right now.
Are you all right?
But no, I'm good. My whole life,
okay.
And I do work baseball games throughout the summer.
That's a good point. You are conditioned to 115.
I am built for this.
Yes. Okay. Could you take, let's see, January 15th, conference, road trip, cheerleading as you did back in the past, or maybe hanging around before a basketball game, like 78 degrees on January 15th in Honolulu? Because there's a possibility, it looks like a strong one, that the Mountain West Conference, as they look around for different full-time members, right?
Right.
I want to add football programs, but also complete programs, that they're just going to turn inward and try to figure out something with Hawaii to... I think the big hits all along has been the travel expenses for the Olympic sports.
Right.
But they're already partners in football, and Hawaii might be the solution to get them up to their min limit, or I guess the minimum. And I still think the Mountain West Conference is going to add more schools. But listen, if both sides can swing it financially, I think it would be awesome to have Hawaii in the Mountain West Conference as a full-time member. This place is really big on Hawaii. Of course, really the headquarters of the Ninth Island
right. Is
right next door at the Cal. I love Hawaii. I think the people of Hawaii are fascinating. I love their brotherhood, all that. So I think Hawaii as a full-time member would be awesome in the Mountain West Conference.
Absolutely. It fits in perfect. And there's a bunch of high schools here with a bunch of Hawaiians on them. Like Liberty is known for having a bunch of Hawaiians on their team.
Do I bring up Jade Maiava, or is that like a two dirty words now?
No, you can bring him up. Hey, he did awesome for the UNLV football program last year. He had to do what he had to do. And
yeah. That's a good attitude.
Yeah.
A lot of people get all bitter with the NIL stuff. Listen, if someone wants to go better themselves, move on. And, UNLV doesn't want to, meet up to their demands, then it's fine. I think you want people around the program who truly want to be around the program. And I never got mad when Maiava announced that he was going. I never got mad when he first said, hey, I'm staying. He's a kid. So he was being tugged in different ways. He decided to go to USC. Maybe he stays long-term at USC. Maybe he's a starting quarterback next year at USC. And how cool is that? Or he uses this year under Lincoln Riley and betters himself and gets more money somewhere else next year.
I would think that he would stay and would like to see him stay there.
I don't
Otherwise,
know. You never know.
Just
his contact, Uncle Dave, might tell him he's got $500,000 coming from whoever. Kansas State has all the money in the world, so I don't think they're going to need a quarterback, but that's just an example. But, yeah, that's the latest news. Nothing is done yet, but Hawaii could be in the Mountain West Conference. And, again, they have to work out all the money deals. It's actually a very complicated deal with the current deal with football, because that's a lot of travel expenses to take care of, and an extra day, generally extra night in a hotel. And I think Hawaii football is going in the right direction. What I would hope for Hawaii is Not that the other areas that you're going into are big money areas, you know, men's basketball, women's basketball, Olympic sports, like they're really good at volleyball, but maybe the continuity, less struggles in terms of scheduling, would help Hawaii, the school and the area, kind of get past that hurdle politically, because they had a whole plan. You know, Aloha Stadium basically got deemed, it's no good anymore, right?
Right.
The thing's going to fall apart. So they had a whole plan for about a 35,000-seat stadium, which is going to be multi-use and have a bunch of stuff around it, and it just hasn't gotten past the finish line. So maybe this is the momentum to get it past. Did you go down there with the football team?
I never went down to Hawaii. No, not with
you. You guys never make trips as cheerleaders?
Yeah, we did. Okay. Eventually. So once Tony Sanchez was the head coach, that's when the cheerleaders started to travel. But I was coaching at that time.
Okay.
We just picked a couple games a year. So made the Reno trip, Utah State, a couple others. Wow. But no Wait. Hawaii.
You got to go to Logan instead of Honolulu. How'd that work out?
Hey, I got to go to Hawaii with Bishop Gorman when I was coaching there, so I have no complaints.
Very good. Yeah. Very good. Yeah, so right now, and I think this is probably the carrot that the Mountain West is dangling in front of Hawaii, is because Hawaii's not a full-time member, these teams that are leaving, these schools that are leaving for the Pac-12 are due to pay an exit fee of $18 million. UNLV and Air Force, because they were in between conferences, actually got bonused. So they're going to get about 25% of the money that's coming in from those exit fees. The other full-time members, like Reno, got 11.5%. Hawaii was only due 5% of that, of the $90 million. So I would guess, well, that'd be interesting. What if they gave Hawaii a better offer than they gave Reno? Or at least they have to at least get Hawaii to the 11.5%. Helps them a little bit with, you know, a few million, which is very significant with the financial situation in Hawaii. So that's where I think it would start. But this stuff's complicated. I try not to get too much into the money because, you know, it's weird. For some reason, did you consider school when you were in school? Did you outside of Reno? Did you consider some schools as rivals or ones you didn't like? You couldn't say this when you were a cheerleader or the coach, or could you? You're like, I hate Boise.
That's the cheer.
Screw you, Boise. You're like, why are you going extra mile for them? I don't like them. I don't like Boise.
Some reason SDSU comes to mind, maybe because basketball, but definitely football. They didn't look at us as rivals when I was there, at least.
So it's funny, in all this conference chaos, so you have the disloyal four that split off, Fresno State, San Diego State, Boise State, Colorado State. Then you add Utah State after. The disloyal four, I call the first four, like you went and did what you wanted to do. Okay, you got what you finally got what you wanted, which Boise and San Diego State have been working on getting out of the Mountain West Conference for 10 plus years.
Correct.
So now we got these two conferences, and I think the Pac-12 people, the new ones, are like looking back at the old girlfriend here. And Jeff Choate had, by the way, Reno's Jeff Choate had a great quote. We'll play it later on, where he talked about this basically being a divorce and we're all living in the same house. We all got to stay in the same house for a couple years, right? And for some reason, the ones who chose to leave, you wanted the divorce. You keep looking back and you're like, man, UNLV, Nevada. Like, don't worry about us here in Vegas. But, I mean, the Boise fans, you know, Griffin, step in here. You're one of these dopes from Utah.
Yes, sir.
So I don't know if you were a Utah State loyalist at one point, but I don't understand. Every day I see stuff from Boise. And you know what? The other thing is, like, it's like this state-run media where it's a lot of the – it's Boise media. It's like, don't worry about Vegas anymore. It's over. You wanted to divorce us.
Those boys in Idaho, man, they can't help but notice what's going on with the Rebels. They can't help but notice the success, the Barry Odom, all the great things we've been enjoying here in Vegas. And they're going to stoke the fires a little bit. They're trying to say, hey, UNLV's great. But look at Boise. Yeah. Look at the blue turf. Look at all this. I mean, come on, man. Ride your own wave.
Is the extra attention they now spend on Vegas in this conference split, does it show that Boise State, the community, is a little bit worried about UNLV in football?
I would say yes.
With the game coming up, and both have very difficult schedules before, 10:25 when the game is here. Because that's what I'm sensing. They're a little bit worried.
Yeah.
Because otherwise, why do you care? You're going to the conference you wanted to go to. You've been the big boys. You're higher ranked. You really beat up UNLV here last year in the championship game. What's with the sniping and the chatter? And
I don't. So it's been social media stuff, mostly.
I see. Well, I don't. That's where I get my stuff. So that's where I see it. But no, there's been a lot of that. Even folks from Oregon State who, you know, started this whole thing by stealing four and then five of the schools in the Mountain West. There's chirping there. It's weird, man. I'm all for rivalries, but it's just like, worry about yourself, you know?
Well, and if they're leaving the conference, is there going to be a rivalry anymore? So they're
good
building
point. They want it out
now.
Yeah. I'll tell you one school I don't hear anything from, and you always heard it because they were on top in basketball and they were better in football. I hear nothing from San Diego State now.
Right.
A little bit in basketball. But for, you know, we just talk on the show. Griffin, down the line, can you show Alex what's the sign? You know, you don't mess with people below you. There it is, the punch down. You don't need to punch down. So that's why, like, San Diego State basketball fans right now, they don't waste their time with UNLV because consistently they've taken them out. You don't need to punch down.
Right.
And frankly, to Boise, like, UNLV hasn't beaten you yet. So stop worrying about UNLV. Stop talking about Vegas. Stop talking about the split. Analyzing every move. Oh, UTEP. Oh, we got Gonzaga. Good for you. You got, you know, whatever. If we want to put in the world of men and women, you got the hot guy. Okay, good. You got Gonzaga. You do that. I love rivalries, and I actually do like trash talk, but man, it's just annoying. Now, when I do this, and we often talk on the show, like we just said, we don't punch down. I'm a talk show host. I'm a sports talk radio host. I can be a clown and get emotional and talk trash. When you're in a coaching position, I do respect some coaches who will talk a little bit. But the stuff that's happened this week, you got to give me your take, Alex, on Antonio Pierce like gate, which was social media concerning Devontae Adams on SI saying, hey, he may have played his last game in a Raiders uniform. Like, what are you doing? You're an NFL coach.
I just don't even know how that happens, honestly. I mean, I am so careful on social media, and I'm nobody. So if I was the head coach of an NFL team, I can't even imagine how careful I would be.
Griffin, can you make any sense of it?
It was just weird because Antonio Pierce, obviously we know how he got into position as the head coach of the Raiders, but I feel like he is a guy who wouldn't make a mistake like that. It almost seemed intentional to me. I think Antonio Pierce, a former player, he's feisty, man. He's got a feisty personality. That's why the Raiders and the entire locker room loved him so much last season. I think he was sending the message, and he intently said, you know what, what's the best way to dig? And, you know, with Devontae Adams' personality, he's a little rigid. He's a little rigid. There might have been a little tense situation between those two. Maybe that was Antonio Pierce's way of being like, I'm the head coach of this place. I am running the show here. If you're not going to fall in line, if you're not going to practice, if you're not going to do whatever the issue was, then we are going to get you out of here. And we're going to replace you with somebody who will.
Yeah. But the point is, you don't want that public. You don't want to do anything that brings that to the surface. That can all be behind the scenes. Now, the other key would be if you kept it behind the scenes, not leaking it to the media. And the Raiders, frankly, ever since they've been in Vegas, cannot stop leaks.
No.
Between Tom Pelissero or Schefter's finding out. I don't know if it's like different people who've been in the organization who keep leaking or it's the same person. But I think that's a sign of an organization that's not buttoned up. You're not a serious organization if you have leaks all the time. I'm coming to believe more and more that I'll give the Raiders, they probably don't want credit on this. I'll give the Jets credit as being a dysfunctional clown show. The Raiders have their own brand, but the Raiders, when you start to really follow what goes on with the Raiders, they really are Jets West, which is always drama. There's always leaks. There's personality battles. Too often come to the surface, so we see them publicly. And I got to say, with Antonio Pierce, some of it should not be shocking. Behavior. Now, if you mature, your behavior can change. But if odd behavior, undisciplined behavior goes unchecked and no one really tells you, hey, this isn't the way it works, this is going to hurt you, and you keep getting opportunities, then we see what we're getting right now with the Raiders. And what I'm going back to is, it just hit today that Antonio Pierce got a penalty from the NCAA for when he was at Arizona State. And, you know, in the end, the buck stops at the top with Herm Edwards. But it looks like AP was a ringleader on a lot of the undisciplined, frankly, crass behavior during the COVID period when everyone was really locked down. And I know, first of all, people hear this, and there's Corona bros and sisses out there going to be like, who cares? Corona, COVID! Stop. That's not what it's about. There are rules. Everyone's got to follow rules. And they didn't follow rules. They said, F the rules. We're going to do whatever we want. And, you know, Harbaugh's going through the same thing with his recruiting and his tweaking. And they had some COVID violations as well. And he is still facing penalties for the sign-stealing allegations. But, yeah, today, Antonio Pierce got an 8-year show cause, which means he can't work in college football for 8 years. And Harbaugh, I think, got 3 or 4 when his first penalty got handed down. And I remember the immediate reaction of Jim Harbaugh was, who cares? NCAA, he's never going to work in college football again. That's not the point. Do you get where I'm going here?
Keep going.
Well, in the case of AP, I think this is a serious penalty. Jim Harbaugh is 60-something years old. Antonio Pierce is, I would say, in the first third of his coaching career.
Right.
Banning him from coaching at 100-plus schools in the future, I think that is impactful, because I don't know how this thing's going to end up with the Raiders, because it ain't off to a great start.
That's exactly what I was going to say. Harbaugh, he's been college and NFL back and forth. We know this. Chargers aren't going to want to lose him anytime soon. Those 3 or 4 years will pass. We don't know what's going to happen with Antonio Pierce, and there could be a scenario where he wanted to go back to college football. And then on top of that, he's already taken a chance here by talking with teams about trading the best player on the Raiders, saying, I want my own team, I want to build this here, which could go very good for him, or it could go really bad. So,
you know, let's come back and address that part of it, the Devontae Adams part of this and how it's been managed. I may be wrong in the next 2 weeks, and you see Devontae Adams bring in a giant haul, and the way they've gone up to this point doesn't hurt them at all. But I have a feeling we're going to look at this trade and go, well, this wasn't managed the right way. That's all they got for Devontae Adams?
Now back to Cofield and Company, live from Stadium Swim at Circa Las Vegas.
Just getting into another day here, kind of waiting to see what's going to happen with Devontae Adams. Gardner Minshew's got to deal with the stuff. I mean, he's already got to worry about just, you know, running the team, right? Getting his play better. And then just unnecessary distractions. I mean, I think we knew, I would assume most people knew, we talked about it incessantly in the offseason, that there could come a point where Devontae Adams just said, you know what, it's not working here, we're not winning, and I need to move on. And that was sort of why I had really lowered my expectations on the win total, because I didn't know if he was going to be here the whole year. But now this whole thing's been expedited by some stuff up on social media, and, you know, now we find out Antonio Pierce going back to Arizona State, he's got a penalty from the NCAA. I just hope this is a lesson for everyone, that I use the term buttoned up. The good organizations in the NFL are buttoned up, and you don't hear about social media. You don't have Robert Saleh saying one thing, and then 15 minutes later, Aaron Rodgers saying something else, kind of almost mocking on him, and then the head coach having to walk it back the next day. The 11, 12, 13 win teams outside of the Cowboys, they don't have this stuff. Hey. It's hard to win in the NFL. This is the last thing you need. It's already hard enough.
I mean, the Chiefs have a couple things, but
that is a good touche. But it also shows how awesome that Andy Reid is. That's
right.
Somehow blocking out the noise. And he's even had the noise, unfortunately, sadly, in his own family dealings. And they also have, the Chiefs have a cure-all for everything. They have the ultimate Band-Aid. And he sounds like Kermit the Frog, right? It is that,
best quarterback in the league.
I'm here.
I mean, right? Say it again. Did you do I'm here?
I'm here. I'm here.
I'm here.
That was a good one. I got that one. Sometimes I can do it. Sometimes I can't.
I'm here.
There you go. Or is that Luke Bryan? I might break into some karaoke. Yeah, Patrick Mahomes is a he's a nice salve on the wound, just like Tom Brady was. There was a lot of dysfunctional stuff. Right. I don't know if you're watching any TV right now, but I'm watching anyone on the show watching the Aaron Hernandez thing on FX. Ooh, that's interesting.
I've not started it yet.
It's real interesting. Have you been watching it, Griffin?
I have. I've actually really enjoyed watching it. Everybody's always got things to say, critiques about these type of shows, retellings of these sports stories. But I've enjoyed it. It's been good so far.
It's a completely different view of Aaron Hernandez, almost sympathetic, which is hard to imagine for a guy who did that much murdering. But it tells another side of the story, so it's interesting. It's real interesting. So now what's going on here, the next 2 days, five, 2 weeks, 3 weeks? I mean, there's word that, and they said it, Raiders are like, well, we're not just going to give him away, so we'll be patient.
Right.
So now you're going to have the situation where Davante Adams is just, he's around, but kind of not. We're just waiting. Give us the value we want, or we're not dealing him.
As a Jets fan, are you hoping that trade happens?
Nope. Did you look at the list I sent over? And I'm not saying like to challenge you, but I sent over two lists. Who should be trading for Davante Adams? Who should Davante demand that he goes to? The Jets are not mentioned on either list.
No, they are not.
And I'm going to give you a lot of the teams on this list in inside of 6 minutes, but I'll repeat a little bit of what I said yesterday. The Jets don't need Davante Adams from this standpoint. I don't think we know for sure that Davante Adams can go somewhere and not be a little dramatic. And the Jets already have enough.
Right.
And I just, like, Rodgers is already kind of, like, pounding and trying to embarrass Robert Saleh, and Saleh's giving him material, and then you bring in his buddy. Like, that's, I don't see Davante taking Robert Saleh's side very often. I don't see the New York media not salivating with Davante Adams and Rodgers together.
Right.
It's just not. The another wide receiver is the least of the Jets' problems. And Davante should look at the Jets. What did I just say 5 minutes ago about the Raiders? Raiders are Jets West.
Right.
Or Jets are Raiders East, whatever. It's just, you're going to go to the same sort of dramatic situation with pot stirring and troublemaking. But there's a bunch of teams that should trade for him, and there's a bunch of teams that I think Davante should be thirsting to join.
Hanging out at Stadium Swim, it's Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas.
Circa Las Vegas, great place to hang out on Saturday. They got the Circa Fight House. UFC 307 is going down. I hope we get a lot of good coverage from Griffin, who's going back to his home state of Utah. He's going to be in the arena at Salt Lake for 307. And this card is loaded because I think the best female fighter in the world is on the card as she moves up through the ranks. Eventually, she'll be the 135 champion. That's Kayla Harrison. We're scheduled to talk to her tomorrow. She's on the card along with, I think, the top male fighter in the world right now, and that's Alex Bejeda, who's a, believe it or not, can fight at 185. I think he could fight at heavyweight at 230, and in this one, he's defending his light heavyweight championship at 205 pounds against a guy who's pretty much all offense in one Khalil Roundtree. You got a bunch of vets on the card, some familiar names. And then the 135 women's title is also on the line with Rocky Pennington and Juliana Pena. This is the spot. Capacity of over 1,000. They can go way beyond that, but it's a raucous atmosphere. You got the 143-foot screen, all the other screens for UFC 307 right here at Circa Las Vegas at Stadium Swim. So we're just getting into the today in the Davante Adams news.
Curious.
Yes.
Let's go through your list. Let's start with who should be trading for him.
Right. The teams that should. And all I'm doing here is, hey, this team is good or will be good, could be good quickly, okay? Cowboys. There's drama there, but I think he'd be enveloped in so much drama that you wouldn't really notice him. And the Cowboys have to do something here. They actually have not looked good. I mean, I think they're going to be a team that has to throw 45 to 55 times a game, which is crazy.
Right.
I don't know that their run game is going to come around, but
I don't think their run game is coming around. And they also can't stop the run. So I don't think another receiver helps them that much.
I think the Bills, because clearly, you know, they could use another weapon with Diggs out. I think Diggs is dramatic. I don't think Devontae's that sort of dramatic, so I think he'd get along with Josh Allen.
Like that one.
I think the Chargers would be a perfect spot. You got a great quarterback in Herbert when he's healthy. They don't have a number one. It would give more time for Quentin Johnston and Ladd McConkey to develop. And I think Harbaugh would cut out all the drama and the nonsense.
That's my favorite so far.
But
I agree with that.
It's in division.
That's right.
So you're probably going to have to overpay. Now, I have two situations where they can help the current Devontae Adams can help the current quarterbacks. It could also be a guy, if there's a change of quarterback next year, would really help that new quarterback. Both the Colts and the Giants. And I know I'm really hard on the Giants, and I've also said, hey, Devontae in the New York market is toxic, but I think it'd be different with the Giants. And boy, oh boy, you get a final answer on Daniel Jones. Can he play or not? Malik Nabers is awesome, although he's getting dinged up. But that would give an opportunity to Nabers now. He's got another great player on the other side to take attention off of him and vice versa. And then with the Colts, I don't know who's going to play quarterback the rest of the year. Are they going to, you know, if it's Anthony Richardson, you got a great number one receiver here, right? And Devontae Adams. If it's not, then Flacco's out there. And if you're playing Flacco, you want to win, so Devontae could help you win. Now, I have more teams, but those are my first five out of the gates that should be trading for Devontae Adams. Cowboys, Bills, Chargers, Colts, and Giants.
I do like the Colts one, regardless of who is quarterback and who will be quarterback next year. But, I mean, especially even if it's Joe Flacco, like you said, they want to win now. That would be a great spot. I don't really love the Giants and kind of going with the same thing with the Jets and the New York media and all of that. Just don't really see him fitting there.
Ah, look at you. So you're on board with my whole media narrative that there are certain places that it's just it's too much. Like, it's too much. It's too much pot stirring, and you're just asking for trouble if you're a guy who likes to speak a lot and kind of speak cryptically at times. All right.
And the Giants have a lot going on. Like you said, we still don't know about Daniel Jones. Dable's trying to keep his job there.
Well, if I'm Dable, I'm like, yeah, yeah.
True.
Bring him on, please. Coming up, we're going to talk some WNBA. A lot going on with Caitlin Clark and the Rookie of the Year Award. You figure this is a crowning moment, but now there's controversy around this one. We'll go out to Chicago, talk some legal stuff as well with Xavier Pope.
Now, back to Cofield and Company, live from Stadium Swim at Circa Las Vegas.
Black hours on the way. I think we're getting Mike Palm on, VP here at Cabana 7. So we'll ask Mike for some follow-up on the that whole $100,000 offer and Matt Sluka and all that stuff.
And then hopefully some updates on the contest.
I don't even want to talk Circa Millions right now. I'm sick from last week. Just sick. We didn't win a game last week.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Circa Millions.
Yes. Did I say Circa Millions?
Yeah. I was thinking Survivor. I was like,
No. I can't even. What people are dealing with on that one, craziness, man. To have less than 1,000 after 4 weeks is just, I can't be involved in a contest like that. That's just too much agita. So we were talking about Devontae Adams, places that should want Devontae. And, you know, not everywhere needs him. Not everywhere, I think, is a good landing spot because there tends to be a little bit of chatter around Devontae. You don't like the Giants for that reason. It's still the same thing with the New York market. I said Cowboys, Bills, Chargers, Colts, and Giants. The last three teams. Throw them at me and I'll go one by one.
Niners.
So I think it's perfect. I think it's perfect because they're... I don't know that Debo and Kittle, and I know Kittle doesn't play wide receiver, but we're just talking pass catchers. I don't know that either one is going to be 100% this year. And I also think they need to have other solutions for Ayuk. I don't understand at all what they did, why they let it drag out. Then he admits that he just dragged it out just to be drama. I also don't think he's a number one receiver. Let's get into Caitlin Clark and then a brewing controversy, believe it or not, in women's volleyball. Yeah. Xavier Pope is in from Chicago. He's up with Alex White. Say hi, Alex.
Xavier, hello. How are you?
Hey, how you doing, Alex? What's up, Steve?
A lot. How are you doing?
Pretty good, man. Pretty good.
Okay. Now, UNLV is going to be involved in the story in the next couple of weeks. Right now, we got to deal with a transgender player, and I don't mean we have to deal with. We've got a deal with a story. With San Jose State women's volleyball team having a transgender player and the state of Idaho is with the state of Utah and clearly Wyoming's going to want in that triumvirate. They don't want to play and they're not going to play. They're canceling games against San Jose State. So give me your knowledge of the story and your thoughts.
When it comes down to it, Steve, we are living in a time where people think they individually feel they are responsible for pushing the agenda in coming close to election. And it's coming the next month. People feel as if that's an issue for right-wing politics in America. It's something that that you see that's been being pushed. And so I think that's part of the story. And also to make now stick sports is now use sports to be able to stick to your agenda.
Well, a couple things here. Personally, I don't like liars, and I really don't like bullies. I don't want people in my business. And when you're in my business, don't lie to me about when you're in my business. The Utah governor, Spencer Cox, said, the big deal here is we're preserving a space for women to compete fairly and safely. There is, I guess I should be open to it. There is no argument I can hear where this is a safety issue. Cut the crap. That's not your primary concern. It's not a safety issue in a volleyball game.
Yeah, they act like that someone's going to sexually assault someone on the volleyball court or attack someone. But that's all part of that rhetoric in terms of the transphobia that's going on. And I think that it's disingenuous. And like I said before, I think it goes beyond just playing the game. I think it's part of pushing various agendas politically, and that's why you're seeing it happen right now. And the timing seems to be perfect.
Let's get into women's basketball, because I could do this for 10 minutes and get more and more infuriated, but we'll move on for now, and we'll handle it on our own. Xavier Pope is with us. All right, Alex, let's get into Caitlin Clark. So I thought this cool award, but we still got controversy, huh?
So Caitlin Clark finally is announced she did win the Rookie of the Year. Do you think she deserved it, or do you think that Angel Reese should have been the winner of this award this year?
I think it's obvious that Caitlin Clark was the most the best rookie, had the best rookie season. Their team with the playoffs before they were bounced out and swept by the Sun. But I think that when you tell the story of a season, looking back, it doesn't appear to be Caitlin Clark dominated this season is how it should be looked at. So I think that maybe having a couple votes going another player's way, it doesn't taint the award for her. She still wins the award. Angel Reese had a historical season herself. Before she succumbed to injury for that team, and they wound up firing their coach after the season when they didn't make the playoffs. So I do think there's something to be said about her season as well, and it's okay that someone voted for her.
Now, there was something that came out that Sue Bird said that Caitlin Clark was used as a pawn. Do you agree with her?
Caitlin Clark was used as a pawn in terms of current politics you see in a lot of the incel culture, and I've talked about this on air with Steve a number of times, and you see people standing up for the black women in the WNBA, you see some of the vitriol that's placed to them, and we talked about this last week in terms of some of the different things that happens in games and how that needs to be toned down and making sure that people who just came to the sport are not for the women of the game who basically hated the women's basketball to begin with, and now they want to watch women's basketball because of something that seems a little bit more insidious than bouncing a ball and putting it out of a hoop.
So I thought there was an interesting line in there with Sue Bird about racism has been around well before this in the WNBA. Do you believe that? Because I feel like this has been a flashpoint that we've never seen before in the WNBA.
I think the intensity of it definitely is unique, but there's been stories about how the WNBA marketed players in terms of marketing its white players more than it marketed its black players. That was part of the sport for some time. That was being talked about in the sport, and so I don't think that's it's any different than now. It's just a hyper focus on it because the transcendent talent, frankly, that Caitlin Clark has in attaching the attention of the sport.
Can we go back to swoops for a second? I know you had some takes on that.
Yeah, well, I think that I guess people talked about her being a hater of Caitlin Clark, and I think that the Caitlin Clark thing is kind of complicated because they're people who want to stand up for the players that are currently that have laid the groundwork and for the WNBA to grow and get bigger contracts, and to disregard those people and put them to the side just for one particular person. I think that people feel slighted by that, and particularly with some of the politics that are around that. So, and there is some empathy to be paid for people who feel as if their sport is now getting attention or being attacked because of racial politics. And I think that's unfortunate for the sport, and particularly that's growing and is getting more fans. And actually is a really great league to watch and to follow.
All right, let's talk about the reporting on the league. There are a lot of people worked up at veteran reporter Christine Brennan. Why and what do you think?
The question she asked of that we talked about this last week with the nails and the comment and about the poking in the eye of Caitlin Clark. Was that intentional? And the way she asked it, I think people criticized her about that. And then Sarah Spain interviewed her to ask her about it, and I think that she was pretty much sticking to her level type of reporting. If I have this vantage point and I look at this perspective, this is how I'm going to report it. And I don't think she's backing down from that. But frankly, Steve, there's a market for that. Just like there's a market for people who want to criticize Caitlin Clark unnecessarily. And they get attention for that. And so as long as there's attention for these take, we live in a hot take culture, Steve. As long as we live in a hot take culture, that's going to sell just as many tickets, it seems like, on shows and in clicks as it is as a plays on the field.
The head of the Players Association of Brennan said the questions were a blatant attempt to bait a professional athlete into participating in a narrative that is false and designed to fuel racist, homophobic, and misogynist vitriol on social media. Is that person referencing the angle of the nails to the eye?
Absolutely. And I think that it was a bold statement by the players union, and I think it was worth, as a union, your job is to vigorously defend the people that are in the union. I don't see any union that does that any better than police unions in the country. No matter what happens, they're going to stand by their guy. And regardless of what side, whether your player is right or wrong, that's the ultimate objective. And I think that they did so forcefully, and I think a lot of people celebrated them for it.
All right. I can accept that the Players Association's job is to defend all of their members rigorously. I don't know that I can accept that the motive behind asking about the nails to the eye is absolutely racist. Willie Ramirez and I argued about it for like 4 days on the nails to the eye. I thought it was intentional.
You thought it was or wasn't?
I thought it was. I don't know. I played enough basketball. I don't remember trying to block a shot and then my hand pointing down into someone's face on the follow through.
Yeah, I mean,
Kevin Mutombo. I wasn't. I wasn't blocking five balls a game, but I don't remember the follow through going like pointed down. But I guess this is an issue we can. And there's other angles because obviously she's writing a book about Caitlin Clark. She tried to follow up. Then there's all the stuff from last week with Whitlock saying that Dejanay and Smith have their boos, and Smith wasn't playing hard. There's a lot going on in this, so I suppose the Players Association has to step up and just say, hey, we don't agree with the direction this is going in.
Yeah, but here's the thing, Steve. But you're talking about incidents on the court and the nature of the game itself, and a lot of people have compared the WNBA, the 90s NBA, if you want to try to analyze how the sport is played and the physicality of the sport. We'll leave the women that have been covering the game for years to talk about those issues. And I think that should be front and center about how the sport is covered. And unfortunately, it's this other stuff. And I think the WNBA is also putting themselves in a position to say, hey, if we defend this right here, we have the right to pull the game back so that what's substantive being covered on the field and the type of culture that the game is outside of this politics can actually be the center story of the game.
Xavier Pope is with us up with Alex White, Steve Cofield. Cofield and company hanging out at Stadium Swim. I need to jump in the pool and cool down. I've been yelling all day. Last couple things. I saw you say, I feel like baseball is a very regional sport. I saw you say you can't wait for the Padres and the Dodgers. It should be a good one. So you're into this even though it's two West Coast franchises?
That's the two West Coast franchises, but those are the two most talented rosters in the game. See, you got a bunch of stars on those teams, and those two teams have been kind of going toward each other in terms of their trajectory for quite some time. Unfortunately, it's happened this early in the playoffs, but this is where it's at. I'm excited to see it.
And they don't like each other, and now San Diego apparently is blocking anyone with the LA zips from buying tickets. They're still going to get tickets. They're just going to pay more for them, but I guess that's what a rivalry is all about. All right. You're into this more than I am in terms of this universe. What are you looking forward to more? And there's availability on these, I think, both already. But anyway, Penguin or Joker 2?
I'm not really excited for anything that DC does, but Joker 2, a musical, Steve. I didn't know it was a musical. People said it was like they said it would be. And I have no interest in watching a movie with the Joker singing. I know they had the animated series where the Joker was singing. That's perfectly fine. But I want my superhero movies with a bunch of like really gritty, fun, crazy scenes, not like Rent.
I mean, all those things you used to describe it before you said Rent, I mean, that is Lady Gaga. She's very gritty. She's very edgy. She's fun.
She can straight act, though. She doesn't have to sing.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah. Okay. So I saw Penguin Episode 1. Have you watched, or are you looking forward to it?
I haven't watched it, but I'm gonna give it a look-see. Check it out.
I thought the first episode was one of the best things I've seen in a long time. So that's really building it up. But I have a feeling that a lot of you guys in that universe are not going to like it.
Why are you saying that, Steve?
Well, because it's very... I don't know the backstory. I really don't know the backstory of the Penguin. This adaptation is very... It's very... In episode one, it's very mob and organized crime all tied together. So, but I don't know if that's like... If that's the original story of the Penguin's rise to misery, I guess.
Yeah, that was always the people want that stuff. That's always been associated with the thing with the mob stuff.
Okay, see, I'm learning something. So it is true to form.
Yeah, true to form.
All right, Xavier. Well, we may be talking about the volleyball thing next week in a reset because UNLV women's volleyball is set to play in San Jose against San Jose State, and the transgender player on the 12th. So that's next Saturday. So we'll see.
Hopefully there's a positive direction with this, and this not becomes a big thing over UNLV.
See you, Xavier. Love you, buddy.
Love you too, guys.
UNLV kind of can't win in that situation, can they? They're going to be in the middle of this firestorm. It's a different level firestorm because it's been so politicized, and they're still involved in conference chaos, and hopefully by then they'll be out of the SLUCA NIL stuff, but maybe not. So I'm sure they're looking around. They're like, the attention is really good, but right now, just everyone enjoy football.
Right.
Yay!
Yeah.
They're winning. Another Rains hour's
for
on
the first time in program history.
I know, and you can't concentrate on it. Alex is here. It's Cofield Circa.